Good morning. So glad to see you all and worship together in this beautiful sanctuary. And I pray once more that we will have a special visit from the Holy Spirit, that we may be assured of His presence, and especially that He answers our prayers. A father took his little six-year-old boy fishing with him one day. They put out the line and then went up to the cabin. After an hour, they went back down to the river to see if they had caught anything. Sure enough, there were several fish on the line. The boy said, "I knew there would be, Daddy." The father asked, "How did you know?" He replied, "Because I pray about it." So they baited the hooks again and put out the line and went back to the cabin for supper. Afterwards, they went back to the river again. There were fish on the line. The boy said, "I knew it." The father said, "How?" "I prayed again." So they put the line back into the river and went to the cabin. Before bedtime, they went down again. This time, there were no fish. The child said, "I knew there wouldn't be." And the father asked, "How did you know?" The boy said, "Because I didn't pray this time." The father asked, "And why didn't you pray?" And the boy said, "Because I remembered we forgot to bait the hooks." "Please, Lord, let me catch fish" is the kind of prayer we usually bring to the Lord. In most cases, our requests are related to the areas of sustenance. We need this, we need that. There's nothing wrong in asking the Lord for things we need. As we reflected together last Sunday, God is our sustainer, not us. God knows and meets our need, which is the very reason that we do not have to worry about anything. We can be absolutely sure that God answers our prayers. When we ask for God's intervention in our problems, God is ready to engage in our struggles. The problem is, we often feel like our prayers are not answered. This morning, we will look into how we should understand unanswered prayers and the critical role of the Holy Spirit in discerning the way God answers our prayers, to which we do not pay attention as we should. Firstly, let us look at the promise of Jesus to answer prayers. In John 14:14, Jesus said, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus repeated the same word in John 16:23 and 24. "Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." Jesus often repeated words to emphasize his point. Here, Jesus begins with, "Very truly, I tell you." A more literal translation of that phrase is, "Truly, truly, I tell you." In Greek, "Amen, amen, I tell you." A double amen meant that Jesus was very serious about promising to answer prayers. Now, we often misunderstand the part "ask anything" in prayer. It does not mean that we can ask whatever and God will do it. But understand the phrase with "what comes next." ask anything in my name. Praying in Jesus' name is not just a formal prayer ending. Praying in Jesus' name signifies that what we ask need to be in line with Jesus' name. Remember the third commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Names held enormous significance and reflected people's identity, character, and dignity in the ancient Judaism. Even today, Jews do not dare to read the name Jehovah, but read it as Adonai, which means the Lord. For example, Psalm 23 is written, Jehovah is my shepherd, but they read it as Adonai, the Lord is my shepherd. And our English translation goes with that. We translate it, the Lord is my shepherd. Asking something in Jesus' name is supposed to agree with Jesus and his will. Jesus has promised to answer any prayer in this manner. John, one of the very close disciples to Jesus, interpreted this word of Jesus accurately and said in his letter in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, he said, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him." Let us look at Jesus' short story to illustrate prayer from the same perspective. Someone had a guest who came to him in the middle of the night. He went to his friend and woke him up while his friend was sound asleep. He asked not one but three loaves of bread. His friend told him he was inconsiderate and not a good friend. But because of his shameless audacity, that's what the NIV translates for persistence, because of shameless audacity, his friend got up and gave him as much as he needed. Jesus spoke of the certainty of receiving answers to our prayer, for Jesus is our friend and knows our need. We may not feel quite adequate to ask Jesus, or our prayers may not make sense, just like the guy who bothered his friend in ludicrous manners. But we can count on Jesus to answer even the kind of flawed prayers. Why then do we feel like our prayers are not answered? The truth of the matter is, there is no such thing as unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers are our misunderstanding about the way God answers our prayers. What and why do we misunderstand? God operates on his watch, and we often forget about it. Some prayers are answered right at the moment without hesitation because what we ask is in sync with God's timing. A lot of times, we must patiently wait for God's opportune time and persevere until God's time arrives. And what a wonderful and perfect testimony that Ron has just shared. I used to have a prayer list that I kept in my Bible. When God answers prayer, I marked with a date. I observed that some prayers were answered quickly, and some prayers took years to receive answers. Running life on our clock is our preference, but not necessarily favorable. God's timing may seem to delay answering prayers, but it does not suggest the inactivity of God. Another misunderstanding has to do with God gives us something different from what we ask. Like our children, we do not always ask what is best for us. Our children sometimes ask for a scorpion, but we parents know they need an egg instead. They sometimes ask for a snake when they need a fish. God knows what is better and gives good gifts to his children. About 8 years ago, I contacted about 24 cell tower companies to install a cell tower in our parking lot and generate extra revenue. A couple of companies showed interest, but after the land survey of this area, they decided that there were already too many cell towers around. Last year, my pastor friend gave me contact info for a nonprofit organization that ran daycare. With God's providence and perfect timing, the state of California approved the organization for a new site in the San Bernardino area. Shortly after that, they contacted back to me. They will renovate the entire education building at their expense. And on top of that, the church will generate over $66,000 a year, every year. Isn't that amazing? This lease opportunity is much better than having a cell tower, I realize. God knows what is best and gives us different things as he sees fit, but undoubtedly better things. John Calvin, a famed French theologian who influenced the establishment of Presbyterian and Congregational churches in North America, once said, "God has a right to distinguish what we actually need." When God does not satisfy specific prayer requests the way we want, we mistakenly think God does not answer our prayers. We ask God to change our circumstances, not knowing that God wants us to be in particular circumstances. That is why it is essential to find God's will when we pray. Instead of just pleading to let God know our need, it is often the case that prayer does not change our circumstances, but our perspective. James Robertson Jr. posts the following on Virginia's public radio's website. In the spring of 1864, battle exploded on the outskirts of Richmond. After the fighting ended and armies marched up to grapple elsewhere, one party came upon a Confederate soldier. He lay amid the dead in front of the battle line. Just before burying him on the field, the grave diggers made the usual search of the body. Inside the shirt pocket was a sheet of paper. On it, this common soldier, a day or so earlier, had scrawled some thoughts. They were a statement of what life meant to him. As such, the words are an everlasting testimonial to one simple human being. The soldier wrote, "I ask for strength that I might achieve. He made me weak that I might obey. I ask for health that I might do great things. He gave me grace that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. He gave me poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of man. He gave me weakness that I might feel a need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. He gave me life that I might enjoy all things. I received nothing I had asked for. He gave me all that I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. Jesus concluded his teaching on prayer by saying, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Why do we need to ask God to give us the Holy Spirit when we pray? Because we need to discern God's will with the help of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord grant us the Holy Spirit to remove the clouds of doubts on unanswered prayers and help us realize that God answers all our prayers and we are most richly blessed. Amen.